Good morning, everybody. We are continuing in the book of Matthew, and today we'll be reading Matthew chapter 15, and I shall read that for us. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat?" He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard the saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them, so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7 and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. Amen. Over the last few years, our society's attitude towards washing our hands has gotten much more significant thanks to the pandemic. Perhaps some of us were always very diligent in scrubbing between our fingers and under our nails and around our thumbs, but across the board, people seem to be even more aware of the necessity of washing our hands dozens of times throughout the day. After all, not doing so might mean we get sick or we become carriers of some nasty germ. But in our passage, when the Pharisees approach Jesus and point to the disciples and say, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands when they eat?" Their judgment was not just based on the disciples' physical hygiene. You see, to the Jews, there were many things that one could do or not do that would result in them becoming ceremonially unclean. This meant that they were not clean before the Lord, and that they would be defiling their souls by this lack of care. And so when the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish law, saw that these disciples were disregarding the customs and the traditions through which they understood cleanliness and uncleanliness, they were angry. But Jesus says to them in response, "It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. Food that you eat that's been handled with unwashed hands, that's not what determines whether a person's soul is clean or not. After all, that stuff just goes through your body and you expel it out soon enough. Rather, what truly determines your soul's cleanliness is what comes out of your mouth." And perhaps the Pharisees were so offended by Jesus' response because they knew that should that be how they're judged, they're not as squeaky clean as they thought. What came out of the Pharisees' mouths was judgment, condemnation, annoyance. Regardless of whether they felt they were in the right or not, they were speaking with impatience and pride. And as Jesus points out, what they speak betrayed what they were harboring in their hearts. On the other hand, when Jesus finds himself approached by a Canaanite woman with a demon-oppressed daughter, he finds the opposite. The woman comes begging Jesus to heal her daughter. And maybe a little surprising to us, Jesus chooses not to speak to her or acknowledge her. Now, this was more than likely a test, and after the woman continues to cry out and implore Jesus to heal her daughter, Jesus responds something to the effect of, "I'm only here to save Israel. It's not right to take what belongs to them and throw it to outsiders." Of course, we know Jesus' heart was not for just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. But here we see him challenging the basis of the woman's faith. And the Canaanite woman responds excellently by saying, "Yes, but just like how dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table, I'd even take just a crumb of healing and blessing from you." You see, what comes out of this woman's mouth is humility and earnestness and desperation. She doesn't put up any pretenses or consider herself anything. Instead, she recognizes Jesus' lordship. She lowers herself to receive from him. And through this, Jesus sees that her faith is great and that her heart is open. For us, we can be like the Pharisees or we can be like the Canaanite woman. What we allow to come out from our hearts determines whether we are walking in purity and humility and gentleness, or in arrogance and godlessness and pride. If we're content to leave our hearts unfiltered, unmanaged, knowing that in our hearts is sin, which can fester so easily, then we reject the power of Christ to transform our hearts and change us. On the other hand, if we desire to grow in holding a clean heart of sin and defilement within ourselves, it starts with asking Jesus to do a work within us, to help us deny the thoughts and wants that might be counter to the kingdom, to instead allow rivers of living water to flow out from our hearts and out of our mouths, and to consider always what is good and pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, help us to have clean hearts before you. As we go out and as we go about our days, Lord, would we keep the sinfulness, the selfishness, the pride within our hearts and offer them up to you. Lord, we don't want to just have behavior modification be our goal. It's not simply this act of not saying what we're thinking, but Lord, we want to really fight against our natural tendency to sin. To consider ourselves more significant than others, than you. Lord, instead, I pray that we find the thoughts and the emotions and the beliefs in our heart that would allow us to live and to act in gentleness and love and humility.
May you grant us those things, God. May you plant them in our hearts. May you water them, and may they grow and flourish. Be with us, Lord. Continue to walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.